jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big Sharkle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Yes, it's the wrap. That means I have a couple friends with me here in studio, and we're going to talk about, I don't know, whatever we wind up talking about. Today, we've got former mayor and host of The Garden Line here on News Radio Pensacola, Mike Wiggins.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing,
a man bud? About whom I just learned something that I won't say on the air.
Good. Good. That's just,
let's keep some secrets.
What happens at 1620
couple,
stays
right.
at 1620.
What happens
20,
off
okay?
mic stays off mic. That's
yes,
exactly right. Mike of the microphone, not Mike of the Wiggins. Jer, Jer, I always say your name wrong. You say your name.
Jera Jacquet.
Jacquet. Okay. That's more the French pronunciations. I'll take it. He is the president of the Bluff Line Project and also coaches basketball and also works in anesthesiology, basically.
Yep, about at the
Naval
Hospital.
A lot of different things. Very cool. Well, welcome back. So, let's get it out of the way. Let's talk about Trump. Mike, you and I, when it comes to politics, you and I agree of what percent?
Zero.
Is it really zero?
Well, no, it really is not zero. But
it's probably more like 60, but the key flashpoints are zero.
Exactly.
We're still Americans, believe in the Constitution.
That's right.
You know,
that's exactly right. And if we're going to talk about that this morning, I think you've got to lead off by saying nobody is above the law.
Agreed. I agree.
Because I look at this whole episode. Mm-hmm. It had a professional judge. It had a jury of his peers. It had good prosecutors, good defense, really, and the law was upheld, and he was guilty of all of those counts on a very quick verdict, I thought,
right.
from the jury, and so you go from there. I mean, you got to go through sentencing and appeals and all of that, but I think it's quite a day in America to say that really nobody is above the law.
So I absolutely agree with you that nobody's above the law. And, of course, I agree with you about the fact that he's been convicted and it was quick. Beyond that, we're probably not on the same page.
I was just going to say, Andrew, what's wrong with something in the air here?
There were some in between there where you and I probably don't agree entirely, but that's okay. Jerry, have you been watching this, paying much attention to it? What do you think? I know, you know, politics isn't exactly your thing particularly, but, you know, you're here, you're smart. What do you think?
I saw this breaking news yesterday, and I'm like, oh shoot, I'm gonna get myself in trouble tomorrow.
Yeah, I did not expect they'd be done so quickly. I didn't figure we'd be talking about that today at all.
Yeah, and I think that shows the power of, you know, a really well prosecuted legal case. You know, I'm reminded of Trump's statement, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters. And I'm concerned because I saw some polls soon after that showed about 15%, you know, 12% of voters would be more likely to vote for Trump after this.
Mm-hmm.
12% would be less likely. And the vast majority, something like 60-65%, it would make absolutely no difference.
Yeah.
And so I think whether you're on the right or the left, the fact that 37 felonies might not change your mind or make
I think 34, but right, yeah, regardless, right?
Yeah, it's you know, he's well into double digits. You know, that's concerning because I think it undermines the rule of law for everyone. You know, and one of those just steps that you know, we have to stop and reflect and be like, hey, 10, 15 years ago, as a society, how would we have handled it then versus now?
Yeah, and it's very interesting, actually. And again, you know, you and I, it sounds like we probably agree about the big thing, which is the rule of law should apply to everybody. Nobody's above it. But then all of the details on this particular case, we might have a different take, or we do have a different take, which is fine. But what I have found interesting throughout this process is I was alive for the Clinton stuff. And the argument by the Democrats at that time was, this is minor, this is a technicality, you're trying to get him on a, you know, something that's not really relevant. How dare you bring him up for impeachment for something as silly as this, as, you know, perjury or related to a sexual escapade or whatever. a lot of Republicans who said, no, everything. This is everything. This is crucial. This is vital. We've got to have a moral leader in chief. You know, we've got to have, and some of those tunes have changed on both sides, you know, and which, as somebody who tries to be consistent, I've tried to stay consistent with the things I said back then or acknowledged, you know, what I was wrong about that, if I do think I was. But it's very illustrative to think about where people were on Clinton and where they are on Trump.
That's true. And Andrew, that's one of the unfortunate things about this trial. And I know, I mean, I'm not that naive that to know, you know, you've got the left and you've got the right, you've got Republicans, you've got Democrats. But some of the sound bites coming out of this thing from the right, how it's a witch hunt, it's rigged, the judge is crooked. I mean, those statements are totally out of line, in my opinion. You could not agree with the verdict. You can go through all of that. But to come out with some of these things which are totally, and maybe this is an overstatement, un-American, in my opinion.
So we are in an election year where the clear message in the Republican Party is that you better be with Trump or else.
Right.
And, you know, as somebody who tries to just, you know, call every pitch the way I see it, you know, I find that very disturbing. I agree with the criticism, some of the criticism, of the judge, of the process, of the prosecutor. But at the same time, you know, when we're talking about Trump, we're not talking about somebody who's been like this pristine example of virtue and law-abiding behavior for the whole time that he's been in the public arena, and now all of a sudden they're coming after him for the first time for, you know what I mean? It's, and to me, I think that if you, his defenders will say that, you know, they're after him because he's a disruptor and because he's effective and because they don't like the policies and the effectiveness, he's an enemy of the deep state. They'll say all this kind of stuff. And I think there's some truth to that. But at the same time, you know, one of the things I used to always kind of teach when we talk in my ethics class is that if you're going to be the advocate for something, be the unimpeachable advocate for something. You know, don't have a lot of dirt and skeletons and stuff because, you know, if you're not the best representative of the viewpoint, then you're going to make it hard for people to be persuaded by it. And part of the problem with Trump is that every time somebody criticizes him, they're always an evil, horrible, terrible liar. And sometimes when people criticize him, they may be evil, terrible, horrible liars. But when you say that every time, it's the boy who cried lynching. It's the boy who cried witch hunt. It's the boy who cried, you know, and like every single time. Well, it can't be every time. Right. It might be this time. But when you say it every time, you know, those horrible media people back there. Well, not all of them, you know. And so, but yet, I think a lot of these politicians reading the tea leaves and the wind and the polls are like, I got to come out strong or people are going to say I'm an anti-Trumper.
Yeah, I got a text message. It took about 2 hours for the politicos and the campaign fundraisers. But
some of them had it pre-written.
Oh, I'm sure they
some
did.
Some of them were posted at 421 or 321 yesterday, yeah.
From Trump in all caps. Justice is dead in America. Our country has fallen. Please give money.
The fundraising.
The hyperbole.
The website broke.
Yeah.
The fundraising website for Trump broke yesterday because so many people were, that's it, I'm giving money.
You know, it's like the January 6th stuff. You say this sort of thing often enough. You say, hey, we've got to take back to America, you know, storm the Capitol, and people are going to do it. You know, if you're saying justice is dead in America, our country has fallen, like, that's not a good look for someone that's job is, as president is to enforce the laws of the United States.
And of course, his answer would be, so elect me and we'll enforce them properly.
Right. And those words, you know, could come from anybody else. But you're talking about the Republican nominee for president saying these words.
And clearly resonating with the populace.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, democracy is, you know, you have to say somebody has to represent those people or they won't vote for you. And so somebody has to, you know, if this is what the people want to hear, you get the leaders you deserve, right? I mean, you get the leaders that you elect. And these messages from all the Republicans, they believe this is what voters want to hear. And I think they're right. This is the stuff that voters want to, at least some voters very much want to hear it as we're heading into primary season. We'll talk about some other stuff coming up in just a second. It's The Wrap. We've got Mike Wiggins and Jared Jacquet here on The Wrap with me. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you're heading north on North Davis Highway, you can expect to see some traffic built up between East Maxwell Street and Fairfield Drive right as you get onto the interstate there. Traffic also building up if you're coming in from Cantonment on U.S. South Highway 29 on Pensacola Boulevard and Hood Drive backed up. In between Palafox and Pensacola Boulevard. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. One of the other things that I wanted to talk with you guys about, and particularly because Jer is here and because Mike used to be the mayor of Pensacola. Jer, you're working on the Bluffline project, and you know people may not have any idea what that is. I wish you the best. I think it's unlikely. But I hope, because I think I love the project. Tell people what it is.
Bluffline is an effort in phase one to link UWF to West Pensacola via Jackson Lakes, Quarry Station, and NAS Pensacola. And, you know, we may need to put down some bets because we've got some big news recently that I think makes it much more likely.
It's not news until you say it on the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is not new news. I think this was maybe 2022, 2023, but the entire route was added to the state SunTrail priority funding network.
No, where does it go through? Where does it connect? Because in my head, I apologize, I was thinking about the like rails to trails on scenic, that was that's the plan.
Right. Right.
That's a part of the plan.
So that was added to the state scenic or the SunTrail map.
Uh-huh.
The Bluff Line.
But that's not converting the rail line to trail. That's building a trail closer to scenic, right?
The scenic highway portion of the Bluff Line is a very important, crucial connector.
Okay.
And at this point, a PD&E study, there's been like very big picture feasibility studies that give the thumbs up, say, hey, look, this is great from a transportation, economic development, tourism, environmental, you know, in that greenways and trails are actually some of the highest performing transportation investments we can make, you know, orders of magnitude less costly than a road, but they generate a lot more economic value. So it's to be determined whether a trail would end up adjacent to the highway or a rails with trails project, which would keep the existing active rail line and put a
like a multi-use path
near it. Adjacent. And that happens all over the country. I mean, the best example, I think, is the San Clemente, you know, coastal trail and, you know, beautiful pictures of a dramatic coastline, very similar to what we have with both coexisting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other option, and Mayor Wiggins and I talking about this, is for decades and decades and decades, there's been talk about, you know, decommissioning this rail line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small part of the network, but it's extraordinarily expensive for them to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And the volume on that is very, very low right now. And there are alternate ways to get to the same place. And so every time there's a significant storm, the rail line has to say, hey, what's the cost benefit of of repairing this? And
if there's storm surge on the beach on the east side of Pensacola, they have to repair stuff.
Well, and interestingly, you know, I was out there after Hurricane Sally along with the rest of Pensacola.
All of us looking at the barges and the ripped up rails.
Well,
and, yeah,
it basically became the party beach
with
the bridge knocked out. So, you know, a lot of the damage came from inland. The problem is you have a berm that's built up.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you have an extreme weather event like 2014 where scenic highway washed out.
Yeah.
Or just tons of rain like Hurricane Sally, it washes out from inland.
Flowing water carved out under the tracks.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, and Ivan, to be fair, there was some washout from storm surge, but really not so much from Sally. That being said, in both instances, the rail operators went to the state and federal government, you know, and basically asked for a bailout mm-hmm. for us as taxpayers to mm-hmm. cover the cost of those repairs. And so a fair question is, if we're the taxpayers paying to maintain this infrastructure, you know, if there are opportunities to have a public benefit,
give us a something else instead and make the rail line itself more resilient or less susceptible to storm damage, then, you know, maybe we can win all around. Mike, I know you've, as mayor, you know, this is, as Jared said, this is longstanding conversation, but your thoughts?
Well, let's go back to 1998.
Please. I
think that's a very important, that's a very important date when the scenic highway was designated a scenic byway by the state of Florida. And there aren't that many of them. I'm going to say 20, 25 around the state.
And we were actually the first designated in the state of Florida.
That's exactly right.
What does that designation mean? I'm unfamiliar with it.
Well, it means that the state has adopted that as the byway. And, of course, in order to get that designation, you've got to have people, organizations, whatever, that's going to maintain that area. Like the Scenic Highway Foundation, which was back in the day. You know, that was a big reason we actually got that designation. But keep in mind this. This is important. This is kind of the big picture, I think. There are 2,000 miles of coastline in the state of Florida. We're the only ones with bluffs like this. We're the only with the highest elevation next to the water in the entire state. And so back in the day, in 1998, we all kind of started dreaming again about the Rails to Trails program, where I think what we really wanted was asphalt over the rails.
Yeah.
And from
like Milton has.
And from the trestle on the 17th all the way to the interstate, it would be a running, walking, biking trail for the public. Now, there are a lot of things that have to happen for that to happen. You got to negotiate with the railroads. Not always easy.
They're always super amenable to public input and, you know,
you've been
public
there.
Needs.
Yeah. You've been there, haven't you? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I think the new owners are more, actually. I mean, CSX was, I'll say it, terrible at being responsive to anything. But the new owners, I think, I have been more so.
Right. And, of course, you've got to, their neighbors down there, you've got to work with to be sure everything works for them. And then the cost of doing it and also the cost, and this is very important, of maintaining it. So there's all kind of...
I've heard a mayor talk about that recently, too.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, that maintenance costs are part of the cost.
and he is absolutely right. So anyway, that's the big picture. It's a dream that a lot of people have had. And, you know... And so I'm so excited to hear some of these plans that are at least being talked about.
It's almost hard to wrap your brain around just how different Pensacola could be if you could walk, bike, or ride from 17th Avenue to I-10 along a trail, along the beach, and you could walk down to the beach and you didn't feel like, am I breaking a law? I kind of am. I'm not sure if I should be here. You know, all of those things. Like, it would be, and, you know, I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. The development opportunities
that's true.
Massive, but there would be the opportunity to preserve a lot too and keep it like, I mean, there's all kinds of things.
It's historic.
Yeah.
That's where Don Tristan de Luna landed.
Yeah.
His ship is sunk right off the shoreline there. And I drive down that road all the time. I did this morning.
Yeah.
I did this morning. The sunrises.
Oh, yeah.
The scenic highway are world class. That just adds to how wonderful it would be to have that trail.
Let's take a pause right there. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading eastbound on Massachusetts Avenue, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before you intersect with North Palafox Street and North Pace Boulevard. That is due to some road work that is happening. That's going to be happening for the next few weeks as they do some lane changes there. Brent Lane and Palafox Street, seeing a lot of traffic building up there as well. A lot of backups all over downtown at every intersection almost, so use caution driving downtown and expect delays this morning in Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So, Jared and Mike, I think it's a, I love the idea of it. I know, Jared, it's your job to be enthusiastic and positive, and I hope you win. I really do. I just know that, you know, and look, every project looks impossible until it starts to look possible, right? So I take that note that maybe eventually it can happen. I did want to switch gears just a little bit and talk about this week we had a historic announcement. Mike, you're a Braves fan.
Absolutely.
You and I disagree politically, and we disagree about baseball teams, but we love the sport, so it's okay.
I think that's
all right. Perfect. I don't know, Jerry, are you much of a baseball fan? You're basketball.
I was a big Braves fan in the 90s. Okay. Yeah.
So this week we had the announcement that finally the statistics for the Negro Leagues have been melded together with the statistics for Major League Baseball. So you now have a whole new set of statistics for the leaders, the historic highs in, you know, average and home runs and runs batted in. You know, the lists look completely different. And there are people on that list that you, if you haven't followed this much, you think, who's that? Well, Negro League players. In fact, the very top in like RBI, or in batting average and slugging and OPS and stuff is a Negro League player. I assume you're in favor with this, Mike?
Well, without question.
Yeah.
It's the thing to do. Totally.
I've talked about this a little bit this week, that you have the problem of the one set of statistics, how they were compiled and what they mean, and the other set, you know. But at this point in history, this is really the only reasonable thing to do.
It's an American game.
It is. Exactly. And to finally integrate baseball, even in the historical records part of it, is a big step.
Well said.
Jarrah and Mike, thank you for the time. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.